Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and society has progressed past the need for Joe Rogan, so why the fuck is he even still here? And with me, I have...
Yes, you knuckle-dragging clout chasers, wrestling has always been that word. Tell me what I'm telling lies!
And...
Hey, I found a case that has about, let's see, about $300 million in it. Am I missing that? Because if not, we're keeping it.
All of this drama for a bad movie with questionable cameo decisions and a baby in a microwave.
You know, I saw people posting about the cameos just in a general sense, and then I had to look up what it actually was, and I'm like, you fucking bastards.
And y'all had like, we canceled Batgirl, but no, we can go with the Flash. And look how much money y'all losing.
It's like that Simpsons bit. It's just a little airborne. It's still good. It's gone. I know.
You, yeah. Okay, Warner Bros., you better hope Barbie saves your ass. Barbie is not your savior of the summer. And considering going against an ex of yours who's in the studio.
The battle of the century. Christopher Nolan versus Greta Gerwig. Who will win? I don't know. I don't care enough to know, really.
I don't know. I might wind up seeing one or the other. Or maybe both. Maybe I'll have nothing to do that weekend. But, like, God. How do you get to the position of being in charge of a studio like that and just make... if this was Batgirl, it would have at least made its money back by now.
Yeah. Even if it cost that much. So, like, what, $90 million? You got a movie that cost about twice as that. Would have been more, but...
That was in development hell for ages. Reshoots and rewrites out the ass. The ass, I say.
The Arrowverse did not need to die for this.
God, yeah. That reminds me, I need to catch up with the Flash TV show at some point.
You should, it's over.
Oh, cool. Now I have an end goal to work to. But, anyway, here we are, episode 313. How's everyone's week been going?
It was a week. Not much to report, really. It's just been one of those very dull and slow weeks where it's just passing the times. I don't know. I'm having trouble trying to string together two coherent thoughts to form a sentence. That's how slow things have been across the board. It's just been a whole lot of nothing going on. Which is good, I suppose, with, I'm starting to realize I don't like the city. It's filled with yuppies everywhere, traffic is terrible, there's no parking, and sometimes you see the whitest thing you've ever seen, which is four 18, 19-year-old white kids in a four-door pickup truck with, raised tires. So that like it's on a higher suspension, that way it's sort of leaning back. They're blaring out music, going real slow, and it was some random-ass SoundCloud trap rapper. It was, in fact, the whitest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, God, it's so... I feel that. It's so white, it's probably about to buy Morgan Wallen's new album.
Yeah, I'm starting to call shenanigans on this whole... selling 100,000 albums every week. There has to be some bullshittery going on behind the scenes. Nobody is that big enough of a fan to keep buying that album over and over and over again. I would know. I have seen that goddamn Taylor Swift album on clearance racks at Target lately.
Who keeps on buying and or streaming these? Is he like a quiet majority, or I don't know, I would say you know how like Maroon 5 is like a quiet majority band is like, well, you know, they're talking about, but they still listening. It's like that, although I do think, I don't know, it's just something.
We will get to the bottom of this, and I fear the details will be very sketchy, because it always is. Like those books you shoot up the New York Times bestseller list, Scott, Can I Talk?, when in reality it's just garbage politicians buying up all the stock themselves to gauge the system. And how do these people find time to write books when they're, you know, not doing their jobs?
Yeah, every time I go to the Barnes & Noble and I always see that fucking Ron DeSantis book on the tables, and I'm just like, yeah.
Ew.
I'm just going to spend my money on something more worthwhile. Like Doro. Hey, Doro!
That guy is going to come in second place to a guy who is destined to spend the rest of his life in prison. I hope it was worth it, you fucking asshole.
I still root for the mouse to completely lay him out in the fucking pavement.
It would be nice.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Let's see, there's been jack shit that much has happened. This is usual of work, which once again I do a lot because I guess the reason why, because one member just passed away, which I saw. Okay, you know what? I'll let that slide. I'm like, you know what? That's fine. I get that. I still don't like having to work 6 days a week, especially on a Saturday, because I'd be off that day, but I'm off on a Monday, even though it's like, I mean, you're off on the worst day of the week, but. Oh my God! Did I get Juneteenth? Where's my money?
Well, didn't you just have like a briefcase with like $300 million?
Oh, wait, where'd it go?
Crap. God,
it wasn't my fault. It was right there.
We can never have nice things. This is like what happens in anime filler. Some cool treasure comes our way, and then as soon as it comes. It's gone. Oh well, back to canon. Why can't I be rich? Why can't we be rich in canon, though? So, if anyone sees that briefcase, please hit up at @Mac2HybridMedia on Twitter.
Yes.
Anyway, as for me, I mean, it's kind of been busy around here, but in a very, like, non-specific sort of way. Just busy. Taking care of things. Stuff. But now we're here taking care of other things and stuff. So, as always, now that we're past formalities, we're going to start as we always do with the new song discussion for the past week. And we actually do have a handful of things to talk about here, both here and in the news topics. It almost feels like a normal episode for the first time in a while. So, as always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us, pick up some new tunes for your playlist, mark your calendars for any new albums, etc., etc. Starting right at the top here, so, the first time we ever talked about the Japanese band Chai around these parts was during the 2021 Adult Swim Singles Program, funny enough the same year that they put out their third full-length album, Wink. And they've had, like, a couple one-off singles out in the meantime, and now we have another one here called Para Para. And I do think it is quite the bop. Has this really tight, dancey kind of funk groove to it with a lot of those, like, syncopated guitar chords. And built off a lot of very pleasant synth melodies that alternate between kind of, like modern-era gorillas, and, like, really, really, like, catchy... J-pop type stuff. It's a bop, it's catchy, it slaps, all that good stuff.
I enjoyed it. Although, thanks to Across the Spider-Verse, I now know not to say chai tea, because that's very redundant, and this is uplifting, it's got some good pop grooves to it. I enjoyed it.
Nice. Now, moving on to the next track here. So, we're about a month and some change away from the newest studio album by Mutoid Man, fittingly called Mutants, coming out July 28th. We have a single number 2 here on deck. It's a track called Siren Song, and To be honest, I think I might like it more than the first single we got, to be quite honest. The first couple of minutes have this very steady triplet groove thing going on. Halftime has a lot of that buzzy, fuzzed out guitar tone and kind of bluesy swagger to it and all. Then there's this brief moment where there's a bit of a harder bridge where it kind of double times the tempo for a bit. Not much to say. It's catchy, groovy, slaps quite a bit, has all that very good, heavy, sludgy, fuzzy production that I like. So, yeah.
It's trippy, it's sludgy, it's grooving, and it's about 80% shorter than that King Gizzard song from last week. So, yeah, I dig it too.
I might have to run the math on that. Now, moving on to the next couple of tracks here. So, let's go ahead and talk some Knocked Loose. The Kentucky-based hardcore group has made quite a name for themselves since their formation, geez, about like 10 years ago. We've had two full-length albums, a handful of EPs, definitely making quite a name for themselves as a must-listen if you're a modern hardcore fan. And seems like their profile has boosted quite a bit further, especially after their appearance at Coachella 2023, which a lot of people seem to cite as kind of the standout highlight of the entire festival. Or at least one of them, anyway. If I recall correctly, Alex said it was a pretty good set.
I mean, that's what I heard, but yeah, it went over pretty well.
All right. Yeah, I don't know why I remember. I thought you said you actually watched for a second. I got to get better at remembering things, but...
I just saw like a clip or two, that's all.
Fair enough. But now we have, you know, in the aftermath of all that, we have a new two-single drop from the band to contend with. The singles are called Deep in the Willow and Everything is Quiet. And while they do have their specifics to them, both can be summed up kind of in very similar terms, structurally speaking, in that both of them rip out of the gate very heavily with a lot of... you know, drum blasts and D beats and all that, you know, good stuff. Hits the, you know, gas for a bit before quickly slamming the brakes into these very massive grooving hardcore chugs and breakdowns. The production is very huge and oppressive. The chugs hit with the hardness that you want them to. Both of them work in a lot of even really solid, like, lead guitar work. Deep in the Willow is much more ominous with its leads, while Everything is Quiet has a bit more of a grim melancholy to it. But, yeah, it definitely does slap pretty hard. The vocals mainly sit in, like, the higher shouting register, although on Everything is Quiet there is a bit more veering towards, you know, the deeper guttural low ends. But it's hardcore, it definitely gets you want to moshing, and, you know, makes you want to break things and shit. Disrespect your surroundings, or whatever that one shitty band said. Except this isn't a shitty band.
I think actually disinfect your surroundings.
Oh, God. Oh, fuck, right. I should probably do that at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, these are very heavy and aggressive and get right up in your face with an I dare you, motherfucker attitude. Would it be sacrilege if I said I wasn't that hot on the vocals?
That kind of seems to be, like, the big make or break factor with this band. Like, even if everybody can think the music slaps, it's like you hear the vocals and you're either with it or you're not.
Yeah, like, everything else is solid. It's just those higher mid-range vocals that just kind of grate on my ears a little too much.
Fair enough, I get you. Anyway, moving on to the next track here, Oh, hey, I don't think we've talked about Flo Milli in a while.
Yeah, even though she's the main artist talking about is Saucy Santana. Now, I remember him because like, we talked about them on the Amber Roundup a few days ago when I was talking about him featuring that IDK track, which I thought was pretty good in there. And of course he was on Double Cell Freshman List last year. And now him with Flo Milli got a new single out called Whole Family. It's basically them talking shit about the family, and it's kind of funny. Basically saying, bitch, you a hoe, your mammy a hoe, your granny a hoe, your whole family's full of hoes. Even for me, I got some work like your cousin a hoe, your daddy a trick, sister ain't low, and your brother's a bitch. But this, I don't know what this should make me. This should make me laugh. Like I was like, this is actually pretty good, because usually with Flo Milli, like I listened to her before, like her stuff is like, you know, like if you're new for it, it's fine, but it ain't even a cup of tea, But this is kind of. It kind of bass a little bit. Even if he has a little sample of Apache in the beat where you go like dun, 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 dun. Yeah, that.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, fucking jump on it, huh?
I think it works well for this type of, you know, type of song, like this very pop rap song, which I kind of get with. Like I guess I would be mad if I listened to this. Like, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, has its moments. Now, moving on to the next track here. You know, every now and then I forget that Poppy is still a thing for some reason. And yeah, so we have a track with Poppy on it to talk about right now. But it doesn't just feature her, it also features Danny Elfman. Still riding the momentum of, you know, Big Mess, the remix album Bigger Messier, 2022 Coachella, all that business. Both of them are featured on this track, where the main artist is Stu Brooks, a bass guitarist known for being one of the co-founders of a group called Dub Trio. Also, for reference, he was part of Danny Elfman's live band at Coachella 2022. Looks like he's apparently preparing for his debut solo release, 40 Hertz, no release date known yet. And we have a single from them here called They'll Just Love You. First off, yeah, those are definitely Poppy vocals, filtered through an obnoxious amount of vocal effects and production. You know, I don't like Poppy's vocals raw. I don't like them filtered through all this nonsense. At the very least, it doesn't sound as bad as a certain other overly produced vocalist that I could think of that I listened to recently. Soon. but then we get to Danny Elfman, and his vocals sound like about what you would expect, kind of like that low to mid register, that weirdly intimidating, ominous drawl of his. I do really like the beat on this thing. It has a nice mix of kind of dark wave synths mixed in with some, well, actual bass guitar to kind of like accentuate the groove and the tempo and everything. So the instrumental and Elfman's parts are fine. Poppy, meh.
Mm. Yeah. Hey guys, Halloween is like 4 months away. This is a bit too early for all the, you know, super spooky dark synth stuff. Other than that, it's pretty solid. I like Danny Elfman's vocals, and that's kind of about it.
All right. And now we have our last two tracks to get through here. First off, it's everyone's favorite rapper with a very, very tough to Google name, Mike.
Oh yeah, good old Mike. Oh yeah, I remember his album last year, as of December, which I remember saying is decent. So apparently, the thing with him is apparently next month he's doing an annual Young World Festival around Bed-Stuy. That's what I'm getting from the Steel piece, the Steel Gun piece. Wait, got some a Lucy for us. Call them Red Jacket 6. Which I think it has something to do with Luke the Third. You were thinking it?
Yes. Yes, I was.
Yeah, and since I mentioned anime, this feels like the length of an anime opening or ending. This shit is short. Like a minute and 30-something seconds. And the thing is, I both like and hate this. Like, I like it because I like the song, but this shit should have been longer. Like, the beat of it is like some very glossy, like, 90s R&B type shit. It sounds glossy. It sounds like worldly and all that shit. And Mike does got a good pull in here, maybe because of like how he raps the beat. He's like, I'm gonna kiss some shit too official because I'm bigger. BJ Malou with them, which like ain't no man in the middle, no teaching man the men the initiative. This school I playing no submission like that. But, I mean, he write it better than me, but this is a good track. Like I'm definitely messed with this. But man, this is, I had to go repeat this track like a lot of times. This is like a track that's like, yeah, I gotta hear it again. Hit again in a span of 10, you're like doing something 10 minutes, like, you know, it's gonna play like 5 or 6 times or some shit. Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just gotta give people a little taste. But you know what? I gotta say something about this. Does anybody else think that the actual beat on the song sounds like a Fire Tools instrumental? Or is that just me?
I mean, now thinking about it, that's like something I would hear on a Fire Tools album, which okay, you know what, it does sound like it.
You know what? There's an idea. Fire Tools and Mike. Anyway, now for the now time for the last track here. So speaking of Lucy's from rappers with very similar flows and styles, looks like we have a new single here courtesy of none other than Earl Sweatshirt. First piece of new material since his album Sick from last year. It's called Making the Band / Danity Kane.
Okay. Interesting title.
So, Mark, what's going on with this one?
Okay, so once again, this is another short ass track. Like, it's like a minute and 45 seconds. Like, damn, these are some short ass tracks. Okay, it's like a weird Jersey club vibe, or at least that's what I'm keep hearing about, like very, you know, very loose loose dancey type of shit, and considering it's produced by, let's see, Evil Glenn, I cannot say this, but Evil Glenn and Clans Casino, which I'm looking at Genius. It says produced by those two, which, I ain't heard from Clans in a while.
Yeah, I wonder what he's been up to.
Yeah. Yeah, people with the verse, they mentioned that group, like, Lil Mama Off, Demi K, McDeep, How Many Days, What's the Plan, Fuck You Say, How Many Bands, I'm gonna make, I feel like Diddy, Dance in the Rain, You Yapping in My Face, David Banner, How I Handle the Rage, When I'm Angry, okay, like, like Loose Cannon, Even the State, Gene Hackman. Okay, that's a reference. That's a reference. Okay, like this is it's a very, you know, unusual song because like the energy of it is very, you know very like usually comes to, you know, like comes from Earl and be usually kind of like low energy, kind of slow. But this here is got basically the energy is very cranked up. It's like. It's like this Earl Sweatshirt song. I mean, you know, not that, but it's definitely like, you know, somebody dancing in a discotheque or some shit like that. But yeah, this is very unusual to hear from him.
Who knows? Maybe it's a sign of things to come. But yeah, that about does it for the new song discussion. Feels good to have things of note here, so we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have some actual news topics to discuss, so stay tuned. And we're back. So, we finally have a bit of news, you know, just sole news topics to talk about here. So, first up, Twitter.
Well,
clearly,
how's
we have
it going, not paying rent?
You know, that clearly things are going phenomenally over there. In fact, it's going so well that apparently Twitter is getting sued by... Well, honestly, who the fuck isn't suing them at this point? Probably picked from the list. But in this specific case, they're getting sued by several music licensing and publishing companies, 17 to be exact, including some of the ones like Sony Music Publishing, Universal Music Publishing Group, and Warner Chappell Music, for a combined total of over $250 million in alleged copyright infringement.
Wow.
That's funny. That's funny.
Wow.
So, according to a lawsuit obtained by Music Business Worldwide, the companies are seeking, quote, up to $150,000 per work infringed for roughly 1,700 pieces of music. The lawsuit claims that other social media platforms have entered into licensing agreements that allowed users to utilize music in their posts, but Twitter has not. So, I'm going to assume this is like just random assholes uploading full songs to their Twitter Blue accounts.
Among other things, but that's a very important thing to note. Platforms like Instagram and TikTok, despite how garbage they are, they actually do have something that's kind of important when it comes to building a social media preference, profile, or whatever. What I'm trying to get at here, they have licensing agreements.
Yeah.
This shit pile doesn't.
And if there's one thing I've learned while doing this podcast and, you know, just kind of looking at the media landscape in general, if there's one group of people that you generally don't want to be on the bad side of, it's music copyright lawyers.
Oh, no. They are the most litigious assholes you could ever encounter anywhere. I would know. I studied their craft.
They're basically neck and neck with, like, Disney's lawyers.
Yeah, and... yeah, now, normally, we're not on the side of, you know, music publishing companies and copyright trolls, but in this case, I think we can make an exception.
Yeah.
What's that one quote from the Star Wars sequels, I don't need the companies to win. I just need Twitter to lose. You know, since we brought up Disney earlier, it's like Disney versus DeSantis. I'm not technically rooting for Disney to win so much as I'm rooting for DeSantis to lose. Just, come on, let me have this one thing. But, yeah, we'll just have to see how that all shakes out.
Yeah, among the other pending lawsuits and rent fees that this company has to pay, which, here's the analogy for you. This is like when SpongeBob sold Pretty Patties to Mr. Krabs, made a lot of money off of it, and everyone came back, wanted their money back because their tongues, turned colors. One guy had his undergarments under his kilt turned to plaid. And a whole bunch of other things that might be considered cancerous.
Yeah,
you buy it, you pay them.
Yeah, but
pretty much.
People say, "Oh, the worst." Maybe I'm not exact. All 400 is I don't fucking know the number of that, but yeah, still.
So, you know, once you're done dealing with whatever lawsuits you might be having over the fact that people are uploading whole ass movies to Twitter, we'll see how much money you have left over to deal with Universal's lawyers. But, yeah, moving on from one bullshit company to another, Live Nation and Ticketmaster. They've been in the news quite a bit, especially over, the increased pushback against all the junk fees and their pricing policies. You know, it started... Well, okay, there's a lot of stuff that was kind of building up to this, but it really feels like it came to a head with Taylor Swift's Eras Tour, the whole debacle of fallout surrounding that. Had another strong push thanks to, Robert Smith of The Cure, rightfully bitching about the way they were, the platforms were screwing people out of Cure tickets. Once again, proving that that's one of the few things that South Park is right about. Robert Smith kicks ass. And, of course, to the point where the White House was getting further and further involved with President Biden stating that he wanted to crack down on all kinds of junk fees across a myriad of industries, live concert tickets and stuff included. Well, in the latest development in this ongoing story, Live Nation and Ticketmaster have confirmed that they're going to be implementing an all-in pricing policy for their customers. So this came, you know, announced on Thursday at the White House, where Biden was speaking to all these executives from this from these platforms to rid the junk fees and shit. So the plan is that by September, Live Nation is going to start displaying, you know, upfront all-in pricing for their venues and stuff, while Ticketmaster will give people the option to view all-in pricing upfront for other venues. Same thing for other similar companies like SeatGeek. Quote, President Biden has been working to lower costs of hardworking families by bringing down inflation, capping its low prices for seniors, and eliminating hidden junk fees. This is a quote from Lael Brainard, the director for the National Economic Council. So, I'm of two minds on this. On the one hand, I do think it's good that the companies are being forced to be more transparent and they can't really hide behind anything. On the other, and this is just me trying to navigate cynical corporate business logic, won't they basically just take those junk fee prices and use that as an excuse to jack up the prices of regular tickets?
We don't know yet. We'll know by September when this is all, you know, laid out what this will actually be, but it's a step in the right direction to curb a lot of this nonsense that has been going on for a way too long.
Yeah.
Apparently, Pearl Jam were the test subjects for this all-in pricing model for their tour that they announced back in April, I think.
Huh. And I thought they already were on tour.
Okay, so I haven't pulled up here. I'm trying to find... Okay, so... Yeah, I'm getting the full price here. It's just going to lay out the price of the ticket plus whatever fees are being, you know, added onto it. So it's a step forward for more open transparency, because, I mean, let's be honest, nobody likes having to deal with extra fees if they don't know about it up front.
Yeah, we don't like that shit.
No, we don't. And Jesus Christ, why must concerts be so expensive in these giant ass buildings?
You're telling me. Like I said, though, like, I'm thinking about it, like, if they're transparent about the pricing, but, like, they still have the fees, extra fees and stuff. But then again, I'm also sitting here trying to think, like, I think there's only so long that they can, if more and more people know, like, the fuckery that's going on, if that's going to lead to sort of a downswing in ticket sales that is just enough that it'll force the company's hands to get rid of those junk fees completely.
Well, this all came about because of public pressure. We know the tactic, bullying works.
So, we just gotta keep it up. You know, if there's any, if these companies try any more fuckery, how many times do we have to teach you this lesson, corporations?
Yes, we have to keep bullying them, like we're bullying Twitch right now.
Yeah. So, we'll see where that leads in the next, however long it takes. But, now we have our one last, news topic to touch on here, and it is a festival announcement. The first ever inaugural lineup for a newly announced festival. And, it is, of all things, the inaugural edition of the Metal Injection Festival. Yes, that's right. Metal Injection, the popular and very frequently read metal news website, which is basically metal sucks for people without an Adult Swim influenced sense of humor. So, yeah, the announcement came this past week. It looks like it's going to be happening in Orange County, California, on September 16th at the Observatory, and September 17th at the House of Blues, Anaheim. So, I guess, are those two venues in the same vicinity of each other? I'm not entirely sure.
Santa Ana and Anaheim, it's close enough. I mean, that whole region is, you know, a gigantic clusterfuck of traffic. So, you know, really, what's the difference?
Fair enough. So, yeah, we have the announcements and stuff here. As far as things like ticket pricing, it's being sold through, I think, Live Nation as well. So,
same company.
Of course. Metal Injection is going to be raffling off some ESP guitars signed by the headliners for the act. The big headliners are Max and Igor Cavalera and Testament. So you're going to have ESP guitars, one signed by Max Cavalera and the other signed by Alex Skolnick. So let's actually get into the full lineup here. So yeah, September 16th, like we said, Max and Igor Cavalera, their set is going to be them performing Morbid Visions and Bestial Devastation. The rest of the lineup includes the likes of Exhumed, In Sight, Fueled by Fire, and Dead Heat. And then September 17th at the House of Blues Anaheim. Alex, did you want to take this one?
Sure, I will. Yeah, so the second day we have here Testament, obviously, we mentioned that. Machine Head, quote-unquote Fear Factory, which I think is just Dino Cazares and three other guys. That's a joke, kids. It says here, Demanufacture and Obsolete special sets.
So I assume Those two albums in its entirety.
Yep, that is still a thing people do. Okay, we have Xibalba. Is that how you say it?
I just always say Xibalba.
Okay, well, it's also Spirit Adrift, Ex Mortis, King with a Y, Contra Cult Collective, Upon Stone, and Thrown into Exile.
I've heard of some of these bands. Half of them I have not. But it's not the, at least it's not the who are you people reactions of lineups with like five times the bands, you know? So, interesting. Good on Metal Injection for branching out to the festival scene. We'll see how this goes for them once September rolls around, and who knows, maybe this might evolve into a fruitful new venture for this particular site. So, that pretty much does it for the news discussions. We have one last little thing to touch on here, and that is the new album releases for the week of June 23rd, 2023. Starting at the top, we have the newest album for the band Swans with The Beggar. We have the new album from Portugal, The Man, with Chris Black Changed My Life. Then we have the new album from rapper Koi Leray with Koi. We have a new project from West Side Gun with And Then You Pray For Me, which I believe is supposed to be like a sequel follow-up to Pray For Paris.
All right, cool.
We have the newest album from Kim Petras with Feed the Beast. And last but certainly not least, the first studio album from Big Freedia in almost a decade with Central City. Now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, Aura of Azure. I just sort of chime in every now and then because the internet is a terrible place filled with terrible people. Sometimes it's not us.
Yeah, sometimes it's not. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
As usual, Max Havoc Media, you find me on Twitter on that, all that shit. And of course, my site, MonoHype1 at thehype1.wordpress.com. This shit happens. I don't know. I ain't been much wrong, but just kind of recent past stuff if you want to know me critically or on a story wise shit. I don't know.
And as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@sururresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Google Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up on the official YouTube channel, so subscribe, hit the bell tab so you're notified whenever anything goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, @SurrealRezo. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website, SurrealResolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, O&A, all of that good stuff. And be sure to jump into our Discord chat so you can always be immediately notified whenever anything new goes up there. It's pretty much the best way to be notified almost immediately. Fucking hell, this Twitter site. And that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual business. So until next time, non-specific outro segue.
And from the briefcase!